As fall camp comes to a close, is offensive line just a little cause for concern?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, and we are ready to dive in, talk about this, talk about a little bit of offensive line today. We hinted at a lot of it last night. If you missed the live chat, we're going to break it down a little bit more in depth and detail, and just kind of get after it. Fall camp has come to a close. Hey, season, technically, it's the season started. We got 2 weeks until kickoff, but you're going ahead and going to start game planning, start installing the offense the way, preparing for an opponent versus working on you. You're now preparing for an opponent. And we're going to focus today a little bit on the offensive line. There's a lot of positives that came out of fall camp for, on both sides of the ball. And I think everybody, especially after Hugh's comments Friday, kind of have their eyes and ears listening and locked into how this offensive line progresses over the next 2 weeks. And I think it's time to, talk about it, quite frankly. Let's dig in. Let's talk about it. So I've seen two public scrimmages. I've talked about that. If you listen to the pod, I've seen two public scrimmages. You got A-Day. You got this fall scrimmage, the first scrimmage of the fall this year. And in both times, I felt like the offensive line was a little bit of a weak point. I felt the offensive line was a weakness from the standpoint of, especially in the running game, not being able to get push. And it seems like maybe at times they struggle, even up through this weekend, struggle a little bit with the pass rush. If you remember, Auburn basically returned their whole offensive line, but you wanted to try to find a left tackle in the portal to be able to slide Dylan Wade inside to his more natural position at guard, which is what he would play at the NFL, because he's only 6'3", 6'4", which is not prototypical offensive tackle size in the NFL, and he's very athletic, so he could have a really high draft stock as a guard. So you're thinking, if we can find that left tackle, then we can slide Dylan Wade inside. And honestly, if you bring one in, you've possibly made two positions better. And that was the thought. That was the thought going in, especially whenever we find the announcement that Percy Lewis actually joined the team. We signed Percy Lewis. That was the thought. Okay, you've possibly made your left tackle better, and now in turn, sliding Dylan Wade inside has made two positions on the offensive line better. You already got Connor Liu. You already got Jeremiah Wright, and you already got Too Tall Miller on the outside. You kind of almost have a whole returning offensive line, and you sort of maybe upgraded, in theory, that left side even more by the addition of Percy Lewis. Now, I'm not saying that it's time to push the panic button. I'm not saying that scrap the offensive line. It's going to be a struggle all year, but it does seem like at least early there may be a little bit of an issue from the chemistry standpoint, from the gelling standpoint, and honestly, maybe a little bit from the talent standpoint on that left side of the offensive line that could result in some lineup changes. You got to be able to find the balance between Hugh's comments, which I'm going to read in just a second. You got to be able to find the balance between, is it a talent thing, or is it just a give and take with the defense being a little bit better, with them still trying to gel as a unit? You got to try to balance. Which one is it? That you basically got to scratch the whole offensive line and rebuild it? Or is it just, hey, it's just going to take a little bit of time? And let's just be honest. We got some dudes over there on the defensive line that are, it's, is head on head, and we're not doing full contact. And there could be some plays where we're getting a little push that are being blown down when it's a 2 yard gain, when it should have been, you know, a 5 or 6 yard gain. So let's just read the comments. I'm gonna read the full answer from Hugh Freeze on the offensive line on Friday that kind of got the world stirred up around the Auburn offense and eyes and ears on what happened in the scrimmage on Saturday. But let's just dive it in. He was asked about the offensive line's progression throughout fall camp, and here's his answer. The O-line is probably one of the tighter groups we have. I do think we have a ways to go there, and that's probably been my biggest worry about the offense right now, believe it or not. I think our receivers are coming along fine. The O-line is just getting them to gel and get on the same page. Really happy with most of them up there. There's a couple of spots we've got to become better. Now, I'll say it's somewhat hard to tell when you're always studying, which is what I said, what the play produced, but we're still making too many. We're just not all on the same page. And Connor Liu is very, very sharp, and he's making the right call, but somehow it's not translating all the time to every position there. So we've still got a work to do there. I'm optimistic that Tyler Johnson is now healthy. I think he's got a chance to be really, really talented. I'll tell you, Ronan Chambers has been very good late pickup to help us. And we're also debating Dylan Wade, where it's best for him to play, which I think that's key. So we're still in the process of figuring that out, but we need to compete there. But we do need to compete there. So that was the comments that kind of got Auburn sort of in a stir on the offensive line. And there's a couple of key things there that I want to kind of focus in on. And the first one's Dylan Wade. I think initially a lot of people took that as, hey, Dylan Wade needs to step it up. It sounds like Dylan Wade needs to step it up. It sounds like he's not performing where he needs to be. And the more I listen and the more I see, I don't think that's the case. I think the thing that particular comment about Dylan Wade is not that Dylan Wade needs to pick it up. It's that where on the offensive line can we put Dylan Wade that's going to make the defensive – or where on the offensive line can we put Dylan Wade that's going to yield the maximum benefit, the maximum, the most efficient, the best offensive line? Where is that for him? Okay. Last year he was at left tackle, and for the most part, I think the offensive line played pretty good. Yes, there were some issues at time in pass protection, but a lot of that was situational. A lot of that was Auburn was behind the chains, and you know, Auburn had to, you know, it was obvious that it was a passing down. So any offensive line is going to have struggles when you're constantly in second and long, third and long, when you're not getting those chunk yards on first down, when you're not being able to stay ahead of the chain. Any offensive line is going to have issues at that point in time, and especially when you're playing in the SEC and you have the elite pass rushers that the SEC has. So, yes, he was at left tackle last year, but honestly, the offensive line was pretty solid at times last year. You were able to get good push when you couldn't even have any balance in your offense. You're able to run the ball fairly well all year long. Jarquez Hunter had, even sitting out a couple of games, daggum near went over 1,000 yards, averaging well over 5 yards a carry, I think maybe even over 6 yards a carry. So, look, the offensive line last year had some pretty good success. So, look, let's say worst case scenario, Percy Lewis just is too big, his feet are too slow, whatever. Again, I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just throwing out a worst-case scenario. Let's just say Percy Lewis just isn't an SEC-level starter, okay? You just go back to last year's offensive line. You got to find a left guard. You got several options at left guard. You just go back to last year's offensive line. It's not that big a deal. You have an all-star center. You got a road grader, Jeremiah Wright, who's healthy. And then you got Xavien Miller, who's having a pretty good fall camp in only his second year, you know, with the thought that last year he would redshirt and he's played a full year and now he's back into it again. So all the melting down about some of those comments, worst case scenario, is you just go back to last year's offensive line. And I think you're fine with that. I think that's a really good, that's a very, that should be a little bit more of a comforting fallback plan, because Dylan Wade can play. Then you got, you still got Tyler Johnston. And then you got Percy Lewis that you can move maybe to the right side. So the big deal right now, the big key is finding that right combination. Okay, it's like a master lock. You got to find the right combination of which body needs to go in the right spot to be able to yield the best results. I think they had an idea that it was going to be, you know, Percy on the outside, Dylan on the, at left guard, Lou at center, Jeremiah Wright at right guard, Isaiah Miller at right tackle. And the thing is, that still could be the best. That still could be the best combination. Hugh didn't say, hey, we're scrapping everything and we're, you know, we're scrapping everything and we're starting over from scratch. No, he just said, hey, we got to look at this a little bit deeper, work on this a little bit harder and see if this is the right combination. See if this is the best spot for Dylan Wade. This is the best spot for, you know, Percy Lewis right here. Is this the best combination, what we have? And it very well could be that the first game of the season, that is the best combination. You still got to remember, you got two. I mean, I've beat this horse into the ground, but you have two pass rushers that I think could start at most SEC schools. And you got one and a backup that are good enough to probably start at a number of SEC schools, and they're coming off the edge with their ears pinned. Firing down on the quarterback, and they're having success like you expect elite pass rushers to have. I honestly would be concerned with the pass rush if you just heard so many reports that the offensive line is killing them. The offensive line, they can't get to the quarterback. This offensive line is great. This offensive line is great. I'd be – my little red flags would be going up. Well, why can't we get to the quarterback? What's the issue? We got an issue here. So, although it does seem like that the tackles are beat a little bit, especially left tackle, are beat a little bit more than I would say the opposite, I think that that's still something you got to take into consideration. Now, you're not going to not face great pass rushers, but at least you're having the preparation to be able to withstand or understand what it takes to beat guys like that, because you're going against them in practice every day. And that goes back to several shows ago where you talk about competition and how it makes you better. So you got to find that right combination. And here's another thing is, if it's one particular thing you're struggling with, which is, it sounds like speed rush is something that at least on the Percy Lewis side is something that that's something that seems like a little bit of a struggle. You can scheme around that. Okay. Now you can't just completely abandon your game plan, but there's certain things you can do to keep that guy off balance a little bit. When I'm talking about that pass rusher, whether it be throwing little bitty dumps behind his rush, it could be put a sliding a running back over there to help or whatever to help kind of help with that pass rush there, bringing in extra blockers. There's things that you can do to help scheme around just a speed rush. If it's just a guy getting beat regardless, whether the dude's just bull rushing through him, swimming inside, going around him, whatever it is, it doesn't seem like that's the case. It just seems like it's a little bit of a quickness issue, which is understandable because Percy Lewis is a monster. He's a monster, so I'm sure it's hard to keep. It's hard sometimes to get those feet going. And it's just something that he's got to continue to rep, and get better, better, better. So, again, in the scrimmage, I think the scrimmage Saturday, we talked about it last night on the live, I think they did a lot of that, especially early. They were able to keep the pass rush at least somewhat at bay, okay, somewhat at bay and able to score, able to push the ball down the field and able to score. So, that's something that can be schemed around. Now, it doesn't mean that you can it'll be perfect all the time and that they won't eventually get to the quarterback, but at least there's some things that you can do. It's not something where you just have to sit back and say, there's nothing we can do. This is all we got. If they run around him, we're just screwed, basically. No, there's some different things that you can do, and I think that's something that they worked on a lot in the scrimmage. And again, even after those comments, there's also an aspect of light a fire under somebody that Hugh definitely takes advantage of in these press conferences, challenging players in his answers, challenging the team at certain points in time. That is something that's very on brand for Hugh Freeze. So there's so many aspects of that comment that you just have to take and digest, but not like go completely overboard and assume, okay, we got to scrap the whole thing and the offensive line's going to suck. No, that's not, I don't think that's the case. I still think you have a lot of talent there, but it's something that at least the coaches have their eye on. There's something that's, at least we're not three games into the season and it's like, man, what do we do about the offensive line? No, that's already on the radar. That's already on the radar, and it's going to be on the radar from a, could it be a lineup solution? Could it be a scheme solution? Could it be you got to completely remove some starters and put new guys in solution? So again, I think that I think there's a lot to take from those comments, but I don't think it's time to just go overboard on the offensive line. But I do think it's something, and I've mentioned it. on a couple of shows, even in live shows, people ask, what's your biggest concern? My biggest concern has been the offensive line based off what I've seen. And based off Hugh's comments, that seems to be his as well. Now, switching gears a little bit, I know it may be on the little bit, the lower boog level content for today, but let's get a boog up a little bit here and talk about Tyler Johnson. This is one of Hugh's first offensive linemen that he's brought in from the high school ranks to Auburn. He flipped him right off the bat from Texas Tech. By all accounts, this guy is going to be a franchise left tackle. He redshirted last year. He was a little bit injured, I think, maybe in the spring, but he's transformed his body. And I got to give some other sites that called this. This was before we really got started at the barn. There's some other sites that called this, that Tyler Johnson is turning heads. Tyler Johnson is a stud. And I think some of that may be playing into Hugh's comments because, man, this guy is going to be hard to keep off the field. He's bigger, he's athletic, he's seemingly getting the playbook down, and he's winning his battles. When he's out there, he's winning his battles, and he's sort of a solid dude out there. So the emergence of Tyler Johnson could be something else that could be a positive for this offense. Could you have somebody that is an upgrade on your actual roster? I think that watching him and watching his progression over the season, it could be game one where he seems to be the backup tackle at both the left and the right side. It doesn't seem like this guy has – it seems like he's super versatile as well as talented. So I think the emergence of Tyler Johnson is also putting a little birdie in Hugh's ear to say, I really got to keep looking. We really got to keep watching this offensive line because this kid's good. And if there's a struggle at all, could he be an upgrade? Could he be the missing link? And that goes back to finding that right combination as well. So the emergence of Tyler Johnson is something to definitely highlight and keep an eye on because I really think he's going to be a fantastic player for Auburn for at least, you know, three more years. I think he's going to be, and who knows, if he gets to play this year and then has another big year next year, that'll be 3 years, 3 years out of high school. You could be talking about, and left tackles are a premium in the NFL. You could be talking about the NFL draft. So I'm anxious to see how the rest of the fall plays out. I think, you know, as you get into this install period, as you get into getting ready for game one, I think probably your public viewing times from the media are going to go down a little bit. Maybe even your intel goes down a little bit because obviously coaches got a lockdown and they don't want a lot of stuff getting out. I don't think it's going to be a huge deal for the game one against Alabama A&M or whoever it is we play. I can't remember if it's them or if we play them later in the year, but I'll lock into that when it's game week. I'm still kind of in fall camp mode. But as that goes along, we'll just have to see how things play out going into the first game. If I had to guess right now, I would say the offensive line doesn't change. I think a little bit of it's coach speak. A little bit of it is the success from the defense. And I think a little bit of it's just challenging guys. Like, hey, let's just challenge. Let's light a fire. Hey, we're about to go into the season, and you guys aren't quite where I expect you to be. So let's light a fire and let's get after it. So that's my take on everything as far as I've seen from fall camp, from the offensive line, what I've heard, and then Hugh's comments as well. And we'll see how this thing plays out. But I don't think it's a cause for concern quite yet. And we'll just have to see how it plays out. So, guys, I really appreciate it. If you're not a subscriber to thebarnauburn.com, what are you doing with your life? It's $1 for the first month. And you're going to get some coverage that you just, I mean, quite frankly, you just don't get elsewhere. We had almost up-to-date live shortly after the scrimmage, both scrimmages. We had play-by-play in the first one and the second one, and the closed media. We had intel shortly after it was over. I don't think anyone else had that as quick as we did. And just the overall conversation, recruiting notes and things like that you could get. I think it's well worth a dollar to try it out. So put a dollar down. Let's try it out and see what you like. I wager that you'll really enjoy it. So check us out at thebarnauburn.com. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Hit that alert bell so you'll know when we go live. Typically, right now we've been going live on Sundays at around 7:30, 8 o'clock. Who knows where we go from there. So follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. I'll try to keep you in the loop, keep you updated. But other than that, we're going to be back again tomorrow with another episode of the Top Button Podcast. So stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.